Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit ChristIsLove.org.
It ain't a thing. It's not something you hold. It's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
We got some killer marriage tips that we think are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No.
When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences
for her.
Yeah. It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun. But make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No, that's...
Yeah, it is.
It does not make sense. When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think, and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents, but putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's a classic. I like that.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
All right, just as a disclaimer, do not try those at home, okay? Some of you have before. Welcome. It's so great to have you guys all here at Christ United. Those of you who are here and those of you who are watching somewhere around the country or maybe even around the world online, thank you so much for being with us here at Christ United. It's so great to have you guys. If you haven't been with us over the last month, we've been talking about this whole series called Staying in Love. And this is actually done originally by a pastor named Andy Stanley, who's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. And my wife and I originally went through this series about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And if you haven't been here, we've been pretty open and honest with some of the struggles that Shannon and I have had in our marriage. And this was one of the resources that God put in our lives to not just heal our marriage, but to make it better than it ever has been before. And so I've been really excited to share this series with everybody. And the cool thing is all the feedback that we're hearing from you. I get, you know, tweets and Facebook messages and phone calls and stuff from you guys. And thank you. Please keep those coming. I love hearing those because I heard a story from last week where there's a guy who's in his mid-60s. His first time at this church was last week. And he's been married, it was like 25 or 30 years, and he was like, I can't come back to your church. If I do, I have to wear steel-toe boots, because he was like, you stepped on my toes so bad. And he was like, even after 25, 30 years of marriage, he's like, there is a lot of stuff that I need to work harder at. And so that's been a huge blessing. And we've got people that are about to get married, and they've been telling me, hey, man, this is helping before we get married. This is great to hear. Actually, there's a cool couple who helps us out in the Connect Center. And they were like, Steve, do you have cameras in our house? I do. No, I don't. No, I don't. But the thing is I, as we talk about this stuff, this is it applies to just about every marriage. And you think, wow, you're speaking right to me. But yet so many of us struggle with the things that we've been talking about. So why don't we just talk about it and get it open so we can strengthen each other? So that's been cool. One of my biggest prayers throughout this series was that this series would speak to those who aren't married. Those who either have no desire to get married and this just be great to better the relationships that they have that just aren't romantic, and also those who are high school age and you are thinking about possibly getting married in the future, because here's the cool thing about you guys. If you guys apply this stuff now, which you really have no desire to do, but if you do it now, you get to do marriage right the first time. You are surrounded by people all through this room who have jacked up their marriages and wish they had heard this before they got married. So you guys have a chance of doing this right. And I even heard, I had a conversation with a student, a junior, a couple of weeks ago, and he was just like, thank you so much. This is awesome. And we just had a great conversation about how this can help him in his not just dating relationships, but picking the right wife for him. So this has been really great. I hope, man, I could go the whole day today and not even preach, and just talk about the cool stories that I've heard. But unfortunately, we do have to wrap up the series, so I am going to preach today. So, yeah, I know you're really excited. But if you have missed any of the series, you can go to our website, crisislove.org, and you can go and you can view all the messages that have happened in this series. It's been a lot of fun. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. But the question we've been kind of, you know, talking about every single week was the Juno question, which is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? And when you look at the probability of that, it may not be probable, because when you look around at maybe your parents' marriage or some of your friends' marriages, or you just see the stuff in culture, you may not think it's probable, but there's something in most of us, I would say maybe even all of us, that we think it's possible, and we even think it's possible for us. Will it happen? I don't know. But man, I sure would like to think that it's possible for me to not just fall in love with somebody, but to stay in love forever. So over these last few weeks, we've been talking about what does it take to stay in love together forever. And if you remember the first week we talked about to stay in love, you've got to make love. A verb, yeah. That pause is so awesome. It's just fun to say in church. But yeah, so in the first week we talked about that Jesus said, look, a new command I give you, love one another. And he took the word love and he said, don't use it as a noun. I want you to use it as a verb. I want it to be something you do. It's an action. I want you to verb. I want you to action one another, love one another. Then we learned in the next week that to stay in love, we got to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. If you remember Mr. and Mrs. Mugg, and you know, beads went flying all over the stage, and a lot of us, we don't get our first gut-wrenching bump until we're married to somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, stuff comes flying out, and we blame other people. But we talked about, man, if you want to stay in love, you have to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. And then last week we talked about to stay in love, you have to follow the model that Jesus said. And if you remember last week we talked about you have to value others more than you value yourself. Now, the cool thing about everything we've talked about, and even what we're going to talk about today, is this applies for all kinds of relationships. We're specifically talking about marriage, but you can apply this with relationships with your family, with your parents, with your kids, coworkers, and people have said, this has helped me just at work. So what we're going to talk about today as we kind of wrap up this series is really about a decision that you and I make. If we're married, maybe even every single day. And it is a decision that you make whether you know it or not. And the good and bad news about that is if you don't know you're making it, it has the capability of really ruining your marriage. But if you know you're making it and you're making the right decision, it can create an incredible marriage. And to kind of lead us where we're going to be today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, who came along after Jesus, wrote like half the New Testament. And chapter 13 is known as the what? Anybody know? The love chapter, yeah. So Paul wrote a lot about love. And the cool thing is we're only going to look at a couple of verses today, and we're going to camp out on one verse. The first few verses we're going to look at, I think we would say that's great advice. Yes, we should all apply that when it comes to marriage if we want to show love. Then there's going to be a verse we're going to talk about. And from the surface, when we look at it, there might be something in you. I know kind of in me whenever I read this, I'm like, I don't know if that's really good advice. In fact, if I was talking to someone who was married and they were having problems, I'm not sure I would say that. In fact, I might just skip that part of the love chapter. But that's what we're going to camp out on, which is how we make certain decisions. It's going to be a huge thing for us. So if you have a Bible, you're going to follow along. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the love chapter. Here's Paul telling us what it takes to love. He says, love is patient. All right, you know what? Good. All right, I got that. That makes a lot of sense. Love is kind. probably a good thing to be kind to each other. It does not envy. All right, check. Gotcha, Paul. That makes some sense. It does not boast. It is not proud, which is, all right, when you think about it, pride can be a really bad thing in marriage. Gotcha, Paul. We've talked about that a little bit. All right, it's not proud. Gotcha, right with you. It does not dishonor others. Pretty important. You know, you stand at an altar, you do commitment, you're like, yeah, it's probably not good, not showing very much love if I'm dishonoring my spouse. Paul, gotcha. Good stuff. It is not self-seeking. We talked about that last week. It's not easily angered. Woo! A lot of us need help with that one. But, and you're laughing because it's true. And so, yeah, we all kind of have anger issues. This is a good one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise any hands. But some of you are good at this, right? You know, and if you aren't good at this, you may know somebody who is. You may have grown up in a house where, you know, your parents were arguing, and then mom opens up that file drawer in her mind and goes back. Yep, do you remember May 18th, 1991? Do you remember? And you're just like, wow, mom, you should be like a history teacher. How do you remember all this stuff? Or maybe it was your dad. He was like, hey, it happened. It was September 8th, 1997. Do you remember? It was 3 p.m. And you're just like, whoa. So it keeps no record of wrongs. That's probably something we all need to work on. But when you think about it, yeah, if we want to stay in love, probably good advice, Paul. He continues, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, meaning we're going to celebrate the wins. And yeah, so all of that stuff, I don't think any of us would really say, that's bad advice. Paul, I get you. All those things make sense. If we want our marriages to flourish and be great, that is all stuff we need to apply. And then we get to verse 7, where he says, it, love, always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. In which case, some of us are just like, whoa, time out, Paul, hold on. Are you just trying to say love is blind and we should just like ignore stuff? And he uses these four ideas to bring about this one particular point that we're going to be talking about today. And depending on how you grew up, you may have heard it like this. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And you're just like, I don't know if that is really good advice. Paul, I get the first couple verses, makes a lot of sense, but this, it always does all this stuff. Paul, you're a cool dude, you're right, good, but I'm not sure I can buy in on this one, which leads us into what we're going to be talking about today with our decision making. Because I want to do a little word picture thing for you to hopefully help us kind of get the understanding of what happens here. Because this is what's true in all relationships, especially if we're married. In all relationships, at some point, there is going to be a gap in between what you expect your spouse to do and the behavior that comes afterwards. And these can be big things, these can be little things, but you want to set yourself up for a horrible marriage and a marriage to fail, just expect your spouse to meet 100% of your expectations. Not going to happen. It is impossible. So in all relationships, at some point, there will be a gap between what you expect and the behavior that comes. In other words, you know what? You said you'd be home at 5, it's 5:30, you're not home. Right? You said you would have hot cooked meals every single night. We're at McDonald's again. Okay. Toe stepping going on. All right. So, hey, you said you would pay all the bills. Man, here we go. Another bill not paid. You said we would stick to a budget. We are in debt. In every single marriage, I promise you, at some point, there is a gap between what you expect and the behavior that happens. Now, here's what we do. We fill this gap with something, and it's one of two things. We either fill the gap with believing the best, or we fill the gap with assuming the worst. Now, here's what happens. What I fill the gap with starts in my mind. In other words, when you get the text, when you get the bill that hasn't been paid, when you get the phone call, whatever it is, whatever expectation that hasn't been met, immediately in your mind, you go somewhere. And you are either believing the best or you assume the worst. It happens every single time. Now, this is what happens when we fill in the gap. We develop an attitude wherever there is a gap. So if you are all about believing the best, your attitude is going to reflect this. If you assume the worst, your attitude is going to reflect this. Now, What I put in the gap comes out in my words and my actions. So whenever I see expectations that aren't being met, if I am assuming the worst, my actions are going to follow that. My words, how I relate to my spouse, are going to come out with the fact that I am assuming the worst. The flip side is also true. If I decide that, wow, no matter where the gap is, if I fill it with believe the best and it starts here, you know what? I'm going to be generous with my explanations with my spouse. And you know what? My actions and my words are going to lean more towards believing the best about your spouse and the reason why, you know, there's a gap and expectations and behaviors aren't meeting up. Now, there are two things that determine whether or not you believe the best or assume the worst. And the first thing is what you see. And that's just, okay, here's all these expectations, and they're not being met. Okay, this is the behavior, and it's not jiving, it's not lining up. Those are all the things you see, and that is the first thing that kind of helps you figure out what you're going to fill this gap with. The second thing, and this can be a little hurtful, is who you are. Which means we all have grown up with all kinds of relationships, maybe good or bad with our parents, maybe we've had good or bad breakups along the way, and we just have all this stuff whenever we come into marriage. And here's, you know, what we all know is true, is your spouse, it doesn't take too long for them to react in a certain way to you, and it triggers what you've experienced in past life, whether it be relationships or family stuff, whatever it is. All your spouse has to do is one little thing, and all of a sudden it triggers the past for you. And we use that whenever we determine whether or not we're going to believe the best or if we are going to assume the worst. What we fill the gap with is determined and based on what we see, what's happening, and who we are. That's what we fill the gap with. Now, this is the key. People who stay in love learn to do this. They learn to do this. If you find couples who have been married 20, 30, 40 years, and they're happy, and their hands are together, and they're, you know, wrinkly and everything, but you look at them, and you're like, man, when I get older, that's what I want my marriage to be. I want it to look like that. I promise you, you will not find couples where there is no gap in their relationship. It is impossible. There will always be gaps everywhere. Just talk to them. Take them out to lunch. They'll tell you there have been gaps all through their marriage. But people who stay in love learn to do this. Whether by habit, whether by force, whether they just got to say it over and over and over, people who stay in love together forever, where it's just, they're not just existing, there's not, you know, tape down the middle of the bedroom to split everything up. You find people who are truly in love, it is because over time, they learned how to do this and not do this. It doesn't mean they never did this, but over time, they learned that, hey, when there's a gap between what I have as expectations and what you do in your behavior, I have decided that I'm going to believe the best. And this is how they do it. They are generous with their explanations as to why there is a gap. They are generous with their spouse with why there is a gap. And here's the cool thing. They believe it. They get to a point where they just come up with the most generous explanation possible for the gap. And they just believe it. I mean, here's an example. She's not impatient. She's just intense. See, some of you want to laugh, but you're with your spouse and you don't want to laugh, right? Here's one. He's not insensitive. He's just focused. Couples who stay in love, they figure out how to get there and believe it. They are generous with their explanations and they believe it. Now, this is not, I'm just, love is blind, I know stuff is wrong, I know there are problems, and I'm just going to sweep it under the rug and pretend it never happened. That's not love. If you are believing the best in your spouse and you get to the point where you discover he's got a porn problem or she's got an addiction to drugs or alcohol, it's not, I'm just going to believe the best that he's going to stop or she's going to stop. No. You believe the best until there is no other explanation possible that you can do, and then you have a tough conversation. And then after that conversation is over, you believe the best. and you continue to believe the best, and if you got to have more tough conversations, you have tough conversations, but you do not sweep it under the rug thinking, oh, it's okay, he said believe the best, I'm just going to believe that, and it's all good, and nothing ever bad is going to happen. Sometimes you got to have tough conversations, but you do it with the heart of believing the best in your spouse. So let me ask you, which way do you go? Are you more prone to believing the best? You know, I'm just going to be generous with the explanations with my spouse whenever there's gaps. I'm just going to do that. Or honest moment. You know, honestly, I think more times than not, I think I assume the worst about my spouse. Which way do you go? Why is it important? Because love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres every time. Now, here's the tough part about if you are in this cycle. If you can just all the time, you assume the worst, it just cycles over and over and over and over and over again. In fact, and here's what may sting is the fact that whenever you're here and I've been here before, you know what's really bad? You actually get excited and happy when your spouse messes up because you get to be right. Right? Whenever all of a sudden that bill's not paid, you go to your mama. Oh, I knew it. I told you he wouldn't be able to do it. He wouldn't be able to keep up with the budget. I knew it. And I've said it. I tried to do everything I could, but he still didn't do it. I'm telling you, you look forward to your spouse messing up. Man, she's never doing all this stuff. She said she would have hot-cooked meals. It's never happened. You go to your buddies, and you just complain all over about your wife. And I told her, I knew. And you are happy because your wife or your spouse isn't measuring up to your expectations, and you're happy about it because it confirms the fact that you're right with assuming the worst. Here's what we need to understand. Every time you and every time me, every time we choose to assume the worst, you have contributed to the demise of your marriage. Even if you are right, even if you have all the proof lined up, you have all the evidence, if all you do is this, you have been a participant in the demise of your marriage. Because here's the thing, when you do this, you realize your spouse is afraid of you. They don't want to come home. They don't want to send a text, I'm sorry, I forgot again. I'm sorry, I missed the bill. I'm sorry, dinner's not warm. They don't want to have the conversation. They don't want to make a phone call. They want to ignore you. Because they have healthy people, they do not want to upset you. And if this is all they are used to, they're scared of you. If you choose to do this, you know what this does? This creates margin in your marriage. Honey, you're not going to be home on time again. Baby, that's okay. I know you've been working hard. You know what? I just want you to be safe. You get home when you can. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure dinner's still warm. I'm not going to wrap it up and put it in the fridge and make you do it yourself when you get home. I'm going to make sure it's warm when you get home. Because I understand you've been working hard. I understand. And in the gap, you create margin. You know what healthy people do with a margin? They draw closer, not farther away. So which way do you go? Do you believe the best or do you assume the worst? Do you create margin or do you create tension? You see, here's what I know about your heart. I know about my heart and your spouse's heart. Our hearts are drawn towards environments of acceptance. Think about the people you hang out with, your group of friends. The reason you hang out with them is because you feel accepted by that group of friends. In fact, when you look at your spouse, the reason you're married is because at some point early on, you were drawn into that relationship because you felt accepted by your spouse. So when you create an environment of acceptance, you are creating margin for your marriage to grow and bloom and blossom like never before. If you create this as the environment, your spouse may come home, but if the environment is one of not measuring up, their heart does not come home with them. And that is something that you have created. That is something that I have created. And why? because our hearts are drawn towards environments of acceptance. And you know this. I know this. And this is the part where this can change right now for every single one of us, no matter what relationship, no matter how our marriage is. Every time there is a gap, what you fill it with, what I fill it with, is your choice. If all you do is assume the worst, that's your choice. If you decide to be generous with the explanations with why there's a gap in your spouse's behavior with your expectations and you start to believe the best, you know what? That's your choice too. See, we have a multiple choice marriage. And the choice is ours. People who stay in love, they learn to do this with whatever it takes. They learn to believe the best and not to assume the worst. And why? Because love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Every time. And you want to find people who have been married a long time and love is alive and they're blowing on that flame. It is whenever two people have decided both to do this. It is tough whenever there's just one in the marriage doing this. It's tough. It doesn't mean you still don't do it. But you want to find marriages that we seek after, marriages that are like, man, I want that in my marriage. It's because two people have decided we're going to believe the best about each other. And whenever there's issues, when there's problems, you know what? We're going to have a conversation. And at the end of that conversation, we're going to go back to believing the best. And I think Jesus said it best when once again he gave us another verb. He gave us another action when he said, do to others as you would have them do to you. In other words, if you were to ask yourself, would I want my spouse to do this or to do this? You'd be like, what the heck? Why even ask me that question? Of course I want this. We want our spouse to do this for us. So do to your spouse as Jesus commands us to do to others, how we would want to be treated. And I know there's pushback because, well, they may not. You're right, they may not. It doesn't say anything about that. It says we are to do to others as you would have them do to you. You are to love like a verb. You want to know how to stay in love together forever and have an incredible marriage? You have to make love a verb. You have to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. You need to model love the way Jesus modeled love, valuing your spouse more than you do yourself. And maybe every single day, you just make the choice, you make the decision that I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to have tough conversations when I have to, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to be part of the reason my marriage is falling apart. I'm going to choose to believe the best every single time. You see, for some of us, this is just, it's hard. It's hard to get there. And I don't know what's stirring in you, whether it be in your marriage or other relationships, but my guess is all of us have something we can work on when believing the best. And as we enter into this time where we just have a chance just to respond back to God with whatever he's doing in your hearts right now, this is a chance just for us to allow God to do what he wants to do. If he's stirring you to do that, man, I've been assuming the worst and I've been a jerk. You know what? I really think maybe I owe her or I owe him an apology. Because some of the reason maybe he's not coming home, which, yeah, there's issues, but it's because I'm creating an environment of him not measuring up. I wonder why she won't want to hold my hand or give me a kiss, and it's because I've created an environment of her never measuring up. No wonder they don't want anything to do with us. But it's our choice. we have a chance right now to walk out of here different. We have an opportunity of allowing God to come in and changing our hearts. And give us a heart, instead of assuming the worst, to just every single day, maybe we just need to ask God every single day, God, give me the strength today to believe the best in my spouse. Help me to be generous with my explanations on why there's gaps, and then help me believe it. Give me the courage to have the tough conversations, but let it be known that I'm doing it because I love him. I love her. And I don't want to be a part of it falling apart. I want to be part of God doing something amazing and bringing it back together and doing something more amazing, making it better than it's ever been, ever. You know what's cool about that? It's possible. It's possible for you. It's possible for me. I'm living it. But it's your choice. And it's my choice. And we're going to allow this time for you to choose.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.